Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back. I hope you are having a blessed new year, and we are so grateful that you've joined us this evening for our Blog Talk Radio program. We are talking about and continuing our lessons on healing your aloneness, finding love and wholeness through your inner child, which is the book we're using by Erica Topich and Margaret Paul. And this is your Girls Let's Talk. Healing your aloneness and becoming all one. So I don't know what that means for you, but I know what it means for me, healing my aloneness, because most of my life I can be around hundreds of people, but there are times when I feel alone. And we're going to talk about that this evening, why we feel alone, and what does that mean when we are feeling alone, even if we're around a lot of people. But we know that this particular program is for us to heal our inner child. So we want to find out how you're coming along with that and your victories on healing your inner child. And this evening, we're going to review chapter 9-9. The title is Getting Stuck and Getting Unstuck. We will also, if time permits, take a little time to go through an exercise in the Healing Your Aloneness workbook. If we don't get an opportunity to go through it together, I will encourage you to do it on your own if you have the workbook by Erica Topich and Margaret Paul. And then when we come back in a couple of weeks, we can share what we've learned from that exercise. And this evening, we're going to start something different, too. I know that transformation takes place sometimes with a little help. And the help that we have been using over the years, for almost 20 years or longer, has been the violet flame, using mantras, affirmations, visualizations, and decrees that can help us to transform our lives through the transmutation of our karma through the spoken word. The power of the spoken word. So this evening, I thank you for being with us, and I thank our co-host, Rhonda Dole Turnbow, and even though our other co-host is out celebrating her daughter's birthday, Karen Walker, we are saying hello to Karen wherever she is and her family and enjoying themselves, and Rhonda is here this evening, and everyone else that has joined us on this call, either through the Blog Talk Radio program or on Zoom. We are so grateful that you're here with us. And we thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to listen to this program and share your love and your light with us in our fellowship as sisters. So with that, I want you, as I always say, to get your pencils, your paper, and get your books if you have the books, Healing Your Aloneness, Finding Love and Wholeness Through Your Inner Child, and the workbook. If you have those, grab them. Grab your paper and pencils and your tea or your coffee or your beverage that you'd like to be drinking while we are moving forward this evening. And now we will do our opening prayer, where I'd like for you to focus your attention on your heart center that's in the middle of your chest. Right in the middle of your chest, if you put your hand over your heart area, like you're saying the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, that's where your heart is. And if you bring your hand to the center, right there, that's where your heart chakra is located. Focus your attention there or on your heart, either one. Take a deep breath. And as you take that deep breath, exhale out all of the tension, all of the stress of the day, letting go of all of your worries for the next 90 minutes and all the time thereafter, just letting it go with your breath. Breathe in deeply through your nose and exhale gently out through your mouth. And as you continue this conscious breathing, I invite you to place your hand over your navel with your palm next to your belly at your navel, so that when you feel yourself inhaling, your stomach should expand out, just the opposite of what you may think, but it's expanding out just like a balloon. And as you exhale, your belly should collapse as if you're pushing your belly button all the way back to your spine. Inhale, holding as much oxygen as you can, bringing it all the way up into your lungs, into the upper part of your chest, and exhaling out, collapsing your belly all the way back to your spine, pushing all of those toxins, all of that tiredness, all of that strain and stress of the day, pushing it out as you exhale. And as you continue to do that breathing, conscious breathing exercise, feet flat on the floor. If you're sitting up, sit straight up so that your back is straight, your spine is straight. If you're lying down, please lay down straight on your back if possible, with your hands at your side, palms up. And if you're sitting, if you want to sit in the lotus position, that's fine. But if you're sitting with your feet flat on the floor, make sure your hands are in your lap, palms up as well. And you continue with the conscious breathing as I now begin our little prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Creator of the universe, we are so grateful for this opportunity to be united once again with these sisters of light. We thank you, Father, for all of the love that you have blessed us and our families with over the past year, and all of the blessings and protection that you're giving us for this year. We thank you for your love and your light. We thank you for your guidance, your direction, so that we can do all that we need to do in this lifetime, all that we need to do to bless ourselves, bless our families, bless our loved ones with your word, your works. And Heavenly Father, this evening, let something that is said be of an inspiration, a comfort to those that are listening now and in the future. And we thank you in advance for this being done according to God's holy will. Amen. All right. So with that being said, Rhonda, welcome. I'd like for you to share with us any aha moments that you may have had since the last time we've talked on Blog Talk Radio or on Zoom. It's been a little while since we've all been together.
It has been. Hello, everyone, and Happy New Year. Happy New Year. We've been given another opportunity to get it right. And that's what I'm looking forward to, getting it right. And the more we study the healing of your aloneness, the more I realize that the answer to many of my prayers are in this book. So I am looking forward to not just finishing class, but seeing that there's some changes, positive changes, that I intend on not just making for a little while, but hopefully for years and years and years to come.
Yeah.
So I thank you. I'm so grateful to be here, and I am grateful for our sisters of light who are with joining us also.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much, Rhonda. As I had said in the introduction, we're going to be reviewing tonight because we have gone over this chapter, chapter 9, getting stuck and getting unstuck. But you know what? I think it's worth us to do a revisit to it as a refresher so that we can go into the future of this year with that understanding. We're going to get unstuck. We're going to make it our business to do whatever we can to work on ourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually so that we are unstuck. And that means our soul or our inner child is unstuck. That means our finances are unstuck. That means our relationships are unstuck. That means our health is unstuck. Wherever we may be stuck, we're going to get unstuck. Would you all agree?
Agree. Yes.
Very good. So with that, I'd like for, if there's anyone else that would like to share anything before we get started, if not, we would, but I'm going to open it up to anyone that has a aha moment that they'd like to share with us. I'd like for them to speak as well. And if not, then we will move forward. Okay. So what I'd like to do is start on page 104 in the book, Getting Stuck, Getting Unstuck, chapter 9. And it says here, we need to accept that in the end, it is not our parents or God who have abandoned us. We have abandoned ourselves. Many of our defenses are really our oldest friends, tried and true. They have stood by us, protected us when all else has failed. And even though now they do us little good, we are reluctant to discard them. That is so true. And I'm going to share this with you. They didn't say this, but I know this to be true. And I know I got to work on this in this year for sure. And life has given me an opportunity to. It shows up in all the stuff that we have in our houses, in our environment. And it shows that we have been reluctant to discard the physical stuff. That's where it shows up physically. But it started somewhere, either spiritually, emotionally, or mentally, and it manifested with a whole lot of stuff. So some of us have had the opportunity to get rid of a whole lot of stuff, so we have a vacuum to fill. And with that vacuum that has to be filled, now you have the newness. Remember that saying in the Bible, you can't put the new wine in the old bottle? So how are we going to put our newness back into this old stuff? So it's just, you know, aha moment. I have to discard some more stuff on the physical so that I can receive the newness that God wants to give to me. So that came from me, but anyway, the quote that I quoted was 12 Steps Up to Self-Parenting by Philip Oliver Diaz and Patricia O'Gorman. So with that being said, there are no comments. I'm going to read this first page, and then Rhonda, you can jump in and read the next page, okay? We have seen in our work with clients that some people, upon understanding how profound and life-changing it can be for them to learn to love and connect with their inner child, get right down to work, dialoguing every day. They pay attention to the messages from their child. They begin to act in their child's behalf, and they progress very rapidly. They make a commitment to themselves to learn how to be a loving adult with their inner child, and they follow through. It is truly a privilege and a joy to work with those people. Other people, however, seem to have great difficulty making commitment and following through. They come in a week after week, stuck in the same place, feeling the same misery. Or they pretend to get better to get the approval of the therapist, but it soon becomes apparent that nothing is really happening. No real work is being done. They may even be doing their dialoguing, but only as an exercise with no real compassion and no true intent to learn. Why are some people open to learning and taking responsibility for themselves while others are not? By nature, human beings are committed. When you find yourself stuck, it is because in some area of your life, you have been committed to avoiding or denying the fears and pain that lie ahead. They can be tricky to see. After years of your commitment to covering them up, your pain, fears, and beliefs are deeply buried and have probably become triggering mechanisms to go blind and unconscious. It's as if we pour all of our energy into creating a shield of invisibility designed to hide our pain, fears, and shame-based beliefs from everybody, including ourselves. And only when we recommit our energies to seeing, accepting, and experiencing the buried pain and grief with all that power be available again to help us clean up the mess and move on into creating joy and fun. Before we proceed, I don't know about you all, but that whole last paragraph that I started reading about the commitment and hiding because we create this shield of invisibility designed to hide our pain, fears, and shame-based beliefs. Now, you think about it, if I can be in a room full of people and feel alone and no one's talking to me, do you think by some chance I've got this shield of invisibility cloaked over me where people can't see me? People don't know that I'm there. I'm ready to engage in conversation and share joy as they share their joy with me. Just based on that alone and just seeing that, it was an aha moment for me just now because it's designed to hide, what does it say? It's designed to hide our pain, fears, and shame-based beliefs from everybody, including ourselves. And only when we recommit our energies to seeing, accepting, and experiencing the buried pain and grief will all that power be available. All my power will be available again to help me to clean up the mess and move on into creating joy and fun. I mean, if you just think about that, and for me, if I just took that chunk of that paragraph right there and worked on that this year, I couldn't help but have a God victory. What do you think, Rhonda?
I think you're right. I think you're right. We take this for granted, but it is necessary for us to take chunks of this, not the entire thing, but just parts of it that we are committing to work on for ourselves.
Yeah.
Important.
Yes. And for me, you know, I don't know about anyone else, but I can remember when I was a child and starting to hide my pain, starting to hide the shame-based beliefs that I had, beliefs of, you know, everybody else was better than I was, or whatever it may have been, you know, based upon where you were raised. You know, there's a pecking order to everything. And it starts when you're a child. And depending upon if you're a rebellious child, you might be considered the black sheep of the family over a period of time. And if you are one that is not rebellious, you take it all in, you might be considered the shy one in the family. But they're not really shy, but they're holding all this pain within them, and they don't know how to express themselves because, again, they're hiding behind this pain. So anyway, but that's just an analogy that I wanted to share. If an aha moment for you came up, great. If not, we'll move on. If you have if anyone wants to share anything, this is, you know, you're welcome to do so at any time. And Rhonda, if you'd like to continue reading, I thought that the power to get unstuck is there.
Okay. Let me take 105.
Yes. Now, if you want, let me just finish that paragraph out and then you can start.
Yes.
The power to get unstuck is there, misdirected at present. To get unstuck, you must change your commitment from avoiding responsibility for your pain and joy to being responsible for all your feelings through the intent to learn about your pain, fears, and beliefs, and about what brings you joy. This recommitment must come from your adult, since the adult is the choice maker regarding intent. Now you can start.
Your abandoned child will probably be afraid to help you do this. No child wants to go to the hospital for an operation. But if an appendix operation is necessary to live and be healthy and grow, that choice must be made by the adult in charge. And like any loving adult, we may need to have a few long conversations with an extremely angry, frightened child. It's your job to hold on to your new commitment of uncovering the truth and at the same time be there for the child who may be overwhelmed by fears and misinformation. There are many fears and false beliefs that can block this willingness to learn personal responsibility. We are listing here the major fears and beliefs that we've discovered block learning in the hopes that if you find yourself stuck, these awarenesses will help you get unstuck.
Okay, stop for just a second. There are many fears and false beliefs that can block the willingness to learn and to take personal responsibility. So look at your life and see where we are repeating the same thing over and over again. You know that saying, you know, if you do the same thing over and over again and you expect a different result, what is that called? And they say it's insanity, okay?
Yeah.
But we have so many fears and false beliefs that's blocking us. It's blocking our willingness to learn. So even though we sit there and we say, I don't want to do the same thing over and over again. I don't want to keep having these same kind of experiences. I don't want to keep having these same kind of relationships. But to the person in the outside world, it may look like we're unwilling to change, whereas it's not that we're really unwilling to change. We have these fears and false beliefs that's making us stuck and unwilling to change. We can't change because our fear has paralyzed us. Our false beliefs have put us in the position of immobility. Does that make sense? I just thought I'd point that out just before we moved on.
That is so true. That is so true. Thank you for saying that. You know, we want to move forward, but we stop. And it is our fears, you know. Our unworthiness, our fears of what will happen if I move forward, what will happen if I don't do this, what will happen, what will others say or think of me? And I tend to get caught up in that cycle and don't take any action. And so where's the adult in this situation, you know?
So the adult is the one analyzing, going back over, because the adult has had these, you know, what if I do this? I can't do that. You know, who's going to think about me this way and who's going to say that? And the inner child is screaming the whole because it's feeling the pain. It's living through the pain. It has lived through. It has felt. It has unfortunately absorbed the pain, the shock, the whatever the false beliefs are. It's been the inner child all along that has suffered, and the adult, unfortunately, without help, can't help the inner child. But the adult has to be the one that says, okay, time out. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to take that first step, no matter how painful it may seem or how fearful we may be. But if we don't take that step, then we are crippling ourselves, we are putting ourselves in the position that we have to come back in another lifetime and go through this again. And I'm saying to myself, I don't want to do that. I was thinking about that today. I just don't want to come back here as a baby and have to go through all of this again with some more parents that may not know how to parent me. Oh, my Lord. I don't want to do it. Oh, my God. Why do I think about that? Oh. Oh. And I'm not saying anything about my parents. God bless them. They did the best they could. But, Lord, can you just imagine doing that again with the understanding that we have now of having to go back through that as a baby? And oh, my Lord. I think, No, and we look at these children and we say, oh, that child looks so smart. Oh, that child looks like they've been here before. Yeah, they've been here before. And they're saying, Lord, do I really have to go through this with these parents? Can I shout out right now? I know what I need. I don't need you to paralyze me.
Not parents or any of the other various landmines that life has to offer.
Exactly. Wee. All right, Rhonda, continue reading.
I'm still kind of going back to that's a striking thought, like you said, having to come back. Those of you who may not understand reincarnation, our karma and reincarnation is very real.
Yeah.
And if we don't learn it in this life cycle, God, because of God's love and grace, mercy, wanting us to get the message, he's going to allow us to come back again. He may allow us to come back again to learn the lesson. So I'm ready to learn. I'm going to learn it now.
Yes, by God's grace. Let me do whatever I can so that I don't have to come back through the cycle of rebirth in a physical body. God, because the way the world is right now, can you imagine coming back here 50, 100 years from now, 200 years from now? Yeah. Well, anyway, let's clear this stuff up. Let's clear this stuff up as much as we can this year. How's that, everyone?
Sounds like a wonderful plan to me.
So all you right. want to continue on page 105 at the fear of the child's anger, Rhonda?
Yes. Fear of the child's anger. When we were little children, many of us suffering at the hands of our parents, grandparents, siblings, other relatives, teachers, or peers, we were suffering at their hands. We may have been physically, sexually, and or emotionally abused. Not only were we powerless to protect ourselves, but generally weren't allowed to express our anger or were further abused if we did. Most of us have old, unexpressed anger and rage held within the feelings of the abandoned child. Angry at others for abandoning us as children and at ourselves for abandoning our inner child and leaving the child to take care of itself. When you open to learning with your child, you must be prepared to experience and express this anger and rage. Many people are afraid of their anger. They judge their anger, telling their inner child that it is bad and wrong for them to feel this way. And they are afraid that others will judge them too. They may be afraid it will get them into trouble, as it did when they were children. They may believe that anger just breeds more anger. They may be afraid that they are basically angry people that have a fatherless pit of anger that will never go away, no matter how much work they do. They may be afraid their anger will
hurt themselves or others, or actually kill someone. This fear comes being an abandoned child with no adult to set limits. Our experience is that anger gets out of hand only when people repress it and avoid dealing with it. Once they get in touch with their loving adult, they can learn to discharge that anger in harmless ways. But if you believe that people will judge you, or that your anger will get you into trouble, or that it will overwhelm you, and if you are unwilling to accept the validity of these beliefs, then you will stay stuck.
If you could if you could stop for just a moment, Rhonda, because I think this is important that we interject here, and that is, we know that in our teaching, the teachings of the Ascended Masters, that if you are expressing anger, you are not in control of your emotional body. We have a physical body, a mental body, an emotional body, and an etheric or spiritual body. And the emotional body is the one that usually gets out of balance. Something just as slight as somebody jumping in front of you on the expressway and you blow your horn. And it may be just a second, that reaction, but it's not you for even just a second, that emotion was raised maybe 10, 15 degrees and then it went right back down. Then there are other times when you might find yourself seething in frustration. And that's a nice way of saying, oh, I'm just frustrated. I'm not angry. Yeah, well, it's the same thing. It's the same soup. It's just at a different temperature. But it's still the same energy that is not balanced. And so we're taught that we have to find a way of finding balance. And the best way to find the balance is by transmuting the anger when it comes up, not entertaining it, not engaging it. You know, you can write a letter and write out whatever it is that you feel, your emotions that you feel. It's good to get it out. I don't never say bottle it up and pin it down. But there's a way of expressing it. You know, no, it's not good to go out and punching bags and things of that way, nature, punch the wall or punch pillows. You know, I used to do all of those kinds of things before I learned that that was still a displacement of the energy, and I'm still responsible for that displaced energy. So now I don't want to displace my energy. I don't want to displace it on a pillow. I don't want to displace it on anyone. I can write a letter to Saint Germain, for an example. Saint Germain is the Chohan of the seventh ray. He gives us the blessing of the violet flame. And many, many people from many, many walks of life have heard of the violet flame today. It's not like 20, 30, 40 years ago, you know, the violet flame was like saying, oh, I'm spiritual. If you remember back then and 20, 30, 40 years ago, you said you're spiritual, you know, people would put their fingers up in a cross position and try to get away from you. Now everybody wants to be spiritual. Nobody wants religion. They want spirituality. So things are changing. But it's the same thing changing, and people are recognizing the power of the violet flame and using that violet flame. So I would suggest writing a letter to Saint Germain, writing a letter to any ascended being that you believe that you resonate with. It could be Mother Mary, or it could be Kathumi, or it could be Dwakul, if you've heard of Dwakul, or El Moria. It could be Jesus. But you write that letter to this ascended master who is a sponsor to you for your betterment on this planet. See, they've already been here, done that. They have already gone through what we're going through. And they have, the reason why they're called ascended masters is because they have ascended this physical body and don't have to come back. We talked about a moment ago not reincarnating. Well, the way we don't reincarnate is we ascend from this plane of consciousness so that we don't have to come back to it at all, period. End of discussion. No more having to be in a physical body. I have ascended this. The only way I can ascend this is by mastering my feelings, not masking them, not hiding them, not exploding and then asking for forgiveness, but finding a way to let that valve. It's just like on a pressure cooker. Remember, you could use when the pot would get to a particular point and the pressure, that little thing, the valve would start spinning around years ago, the old one, and you lift it off and all that steam would come out so fast, you don't want that. You know, that's just like you just diffusing, letting all your light go. So you don't want to do that. You want to lower the pressure of that pressure cooker. What do? You turn the fire off or you turn the fire down so that that pressure can go down. Well, the violet flame does that. It helps to lower the pressure just by us speaking certain words and saying them in a certain pattern. It helps to use that fire that's within us that wants us to rage out and just blow up, you know, blow our stack and be angry and let it just diffuse out of us. No, we don't want to do that. So we're going to learn how to use the science of the spoken word this evening so that we can begin to transmute and transform our lives with the science of the spoken word. And in this case, using the violet flame. And I like saying the word violet flame because it makes me think of the color violet. You know, so if you think of violet or you think of purple and you think of that color being around you and you maybe sitting in a bonfire or standing in a bonfire of violet flame all around you to help you to transform and transmute that anger, because every cell of your body has a record of that anger. Every cell of your body has a record of that fear. Every cell of your body has a record of that false belief that you have of yourself, that you're ugly or that you're not smart or that you're too tall or too short or too skinny or too fat or too this or too that or not enough, whatever. Whatever that false belief is, it's in every cell of our body. Now, can we give it to every cell of our body and transmute that and transform it? No. But can the violet flame do it? Yes. The violet flame can go into every cell of your body because it's scientifically proven that energy or light is faster than the sound of that we use out here that slows things down. But when you're using a higher frequency of light, it's faster than that. So it's faster than that vibration of anger. It's faster than that vibration of fear. It's faster than that vibration of grief or guilt or any other false belief that we have of ourselves, because that resonates at a very slow vibration. That's why it slows us down and makes us feel bogged down and makes us feel depressed and our energy gets slower and slower and slower. But when we are using the science of the spoken word at a certain cadence, certain pace, and we're visualizing that light going into our cells, visualizing that light going into that experience that you may have had with that person that made you angry, visualizing that light with the first person that may have said something that you can remember that helped, that began to change your belief about feeling good about yourself. When we can go back to that and use the violet flame to transmute it, it can go into every cell of our body. That violet flame, with our words, can go in there and transform, transmute that old record that's within us, within every cell of our being. And I guarantee you, you say just a short mantra for a very short period of time, you'll begin to feel the difference in your own self. And so I really want us to learn this tonight. And practice it for a little bit before we go any further, because I think just reading and, you know, because this is a review. We've already read it once, so now we're reviewing, but now we're going to also put some practical applications, some exercises into place that we can do. So I want you to, for a moment, and I'm being impressed to get the workbook now, the workbook on page 153, Taking Loving Action. And I'm going to tell you, using the science of the spoken word is taking loving action. It's loving yourself enough to do something different than what you've done before. Because everything probably that you've done before or done nothing before hasn't moved you. So now we need to take action and do something differently. So there's an exercise here on page, let me see. Okay, 161. Page 161. This message may resonate with some people. I don't know. You can let me know if it does. I know at some point in my life it had resonated with me. Your boss yells at you. Or you can change this from your boss to your husband or your sister or brother yells at you, or your parents yell at you, or a friend yells at you. So it doesn't have to be your boss, but in this case, it says here, your boss yells at you. I can set a boundary by telling my boss that I don't like being yelled at, available with an intent to learn, to talk over whatever the problem is. I can let my child know that my boss is yelling, or my sister's yelling, my husband's yelling, my friend's yelling, does not mean I am a bad person. I can explore what my boss, friend, father, mother, husband's behavior may be touching off from the past, whether my boss reminds me of my parents and the beliefs I have about that. If my boss continues to abuse, even after I have repeatedly set firm boundaries, I may have to consider changing jobs, if that is possible. If that does not seem possible, because we can't change our family, but we can change the way we allow our family to affect us. So that's important. You can't change families, even though you can change your job and you can get rid of certain relationships, but your family's there. You may distance yourself, but they're still there. And if that does not seem possible, then I have to keep reassuring my child that my boss's behavior has nothing to do with my worth. That's important. My worth or lovability. And continue exploring what from the past is being activated by my boss's behavior. And sometimes people are put into our life. Our boss doesn't even know that they're being used by God to bring this stuff up so that we can heal, especially if we said we wanted to heal. Then how is that going to happen if we don't have somebody that's being like the fire under the pot, the pressure cooker, that's going to get us steamed up enough to even see that there's something there that needs to be worked on, right? I can allow my child to release feelings of anger and hurt in appropriate ways, not indulging my child in dumping these feelings on my partner, children, or pets. Okay, so I would make a recommendation that before you even go to your boss, or go to your friends, go to your parents, go to your siblings or whomever it may be, that you do the violet flame, that you write a letter to Jesus, to God, to Mother Mary, to whomever, as I said before, you resonate with, that's an ascended being that you know that can help you. In this case, because the violet flame is there for us by Saint Germain, I would definitely include Saint Germain. And then I would see myself, well, you could actually burn the letter. You can actually see it going up in smoke after you write it, because when you burn it and you ask the listening angels to take it up to God as quickly as possible so that it can be answered, then do the forgiveness work. And I want you to write this down if you don't know this particular mantra or affirmation. You can say it as an affirmation every day, or you can say it as a mantra. You can say it as a decree, which means you're saying it with a lot more power from your voice than just saying it as an affirmation, because as an affirmation, you're just saying the word. But now as a decree, you're putting your attention from your throat chakra into, and your heart chakra, into this, into the words that you say. And you're visualizing at the same time the violet flame going in every cell of your body into that experience that you had with your boss, with your friend, with your partner, with your husband, or whomever it may have been. And you're seeing all of you, both of you, anyone that you need to have this forgiveness around, you're forgiving them for what they did or what they said. And you're also going to ask your inner child for forgiveness for even accepting it, even taking it in at any, on any level. If you've taken it in, and I mean, we take it in because we feel pain. We take it in because we have other situations going on that brings us to a point of recognizing that we've taken it in, especially when we don't like ourselves or we don't like what the person says, and it rubs us the wrong way. So I want you to write this down. If you don't know this particular mantra, I want you to write it down, and we're going to say it together, okay? It's a forgiveness mantra, and it comes from the Heart, Head, and Hand Decree by beloved El Moria. And this particular stanza is a 12-stanza decree. We can say all of those, but this one is specifically about forgiveness. And so let me know when you're ready. You have your pencil and your paper, and you're ready to write this down. You ready?
Ready.
All right.
Ready.
I am forgiveness acting here. Comma. Casting, C-A-S-T-I-N-G, casting out all doubt and fear. Setting men forever free with wings of cosmic victory, period. I am, capital I, capital A-M, because when you say I am, you're actually saying the God in me. So I am calling. So the God in me is calling in full power for forgiveness every hour. Semicolon. To all life in every place, I flood forth forgiving grace. So I'm going to say it again to make sure that you have it. I am, again, I and A am a capital. I am forgiveness. And the first letter in forgiveness is capitalized also. I am forgiveness acting here, comma, casting out all doubt and fear, comma, setting men forever free with wings of cosmic, C-O-S-M-I-C, cosmic victory. Victory is also, the V is also capitalized. Am calling in full power for forgiveness every hour to all life in every place. I flood forth forgiving grace. And grace, the G is capitalized. We know that forgiveness does not come from God. We know that grace doesn't come from us. It comes from God. So that's why, in my mind, those two words, the first letters, are capitalized. So I want you now to think of a situation where you have had an experience with a boss, neighbor, friend, family member, husband, recently, or if something does pop up from many, many years ago, write it down. I want you to take just 2 or 3 minutes to, you may not be able to write down everything that happened, but you may be able to write down just a couple of words so that it will stay in your memory. And when we get off the air and you are in your own moment of meditation, then you can expound on that experience. It may even do good if you can remember where you were, what you were doing, what they said to you, how it made you feel. Write all of that down. What you may have said to them. You know, maybe you were the one that started it. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. Ask them to forgive you. Either way, however you write it out in your letter, be clear. Write it out in the letter later on and ask for forgiveness. If you need to be the one asking for the forgiveness because of something you've done, or if it's something that they've done, you can let them know that you are working on forgiveness or that you have forgiven them. Or maybe you thought you had forgiven them, but I guarantee you if the memory comes back to you, we haven't gotten it all out. Because until we can not remember it at all, and this is not selective amnesia, and this is not old age forgetfulness. This is where we have cleared the record. And the record is cleared, and we know the record is cleared, and it's there no more, then we know that the forgiveness work has been complete. And then once you do that, if you're a visual person like I am, and if you're not, find a biology book or go online, find the anatomy of the human body, find blood cells. Because you want to see a cell. You want to see the mitochondria. You want to see the nucleus. You want to see every part of the cell. So that in your mind, when you are sending this violet flame in, it is going into the nucleus. It is going into the electrons. It's going into the atoms. It's going into the mitochondria. It's going into every aspect of that cell. You know why? Because you don't want that cell to have any memory of this old, these false beliefs, this hatred, this pain, this anger. You don't want your body to hold on to it because at some point, God bless us, but it may cause physical challenges in our body that we then have to deal with. So you want to nip it in the bud. You want to get it out. You want to transmute it, cells of your being. You do not want to hang on to anger. You do not want to hang on to fear. You do not want to hang on to guilt. You do not want to hang on to abandonment issues. No negative beliefs about yourself. No false beliefs about yourself. And once you see, once you can see, have a picture in your mind of this nucleus, this mitochondria, the chromosomes even, because every chromosome that we have, we know genetically we got our DNA from our parents, our ancestors. And so they may have had anger. They may have had fear. They may have had all kinds of Woo-Shot John stuff going on in their being that you also inherited. So you want to go into the cells and eradicate all of that because in your lifetime, what's happening is you're bringing out, it can come into manifestation because you're attracting it from what's inside your DNA. So I am forgiveness acting here, casting out all doubt. What is that doubt and fear of? Doubt of being a child of God. Doubt of being full and whole and complete, lovable, joyous, full of light, full of good health. We may doubt any worthiness issues that we may have. That we're doubting ourselves. We're doubting the God in ourselves. And fear of our power, fear of being a good person, fear of being the best we can be, fear of what people are going to think about us if we're powerful or we're doing the best we can do and be. Setting men forever free, meaning whatever they've held against you, you don't want to hold that against them any longer. And you don't want to be tied to them any longer in any way that is not constructive. So you want to set them free with wings of cosmic victory. You want to send them on their way. You want them to have their victory because their victory is your victory and your victory is their victory. You don't want to hold on to any malice or hard feeling. Let them go with victory for whatever they need to do in their life. I am calling in full power. So we can't call in that power. Remember I said earlier, all the junk I got in my house is a representation of the junk that's going on in my mind or in my etheric records or my mental body or my emotional body. And I got to get rid of it. I'm not going to be able to call in full power if I got all this stuff blocking me. Remember the author said about being stuck earlier? And unstuck, we can't get unstuck if we got all this stuff there blocking us from being able to get unstuck. So we can't call in our full power if we still got stuff there that we're holding on to. That's why you write the letters. That's why you want to be an empty vessel. That's why I said you cannot put the new wine in the old bottle. You have to let it all go. We have to let it go. We have to let it go so that we can let it go. We may not want to see it that way, but that's what's happening. We got to let this old stuff go. I am calling in full power for forgiveness every hour. How many hours is that? We got 24 hours in the day, but we've been around here maybe a million years. So that's a whole lot of hours of forgiveness that we need to be calling on. To all life in every place, that's any whatever galaxy we may have come from this lifetime, other lifetimes, you know, other our family members, et cetera, to all life in every place, we want to let it go. I flood forth forgiving grace. So that, I mean, you think about it, just that alone, to all life in every place, how many galaxies could that be? I mean, look at that cosmic picture behind me there. I mean, look at all those stars. I mean, if we just think about it, to all life in every place, I flood for forgiving grace to every planet, every star out there in the universe, every tree, every blade of grass, every pillow of sand, that all belongs to God, and we're all part of it, and it's all part of us. So to all life in every place, I flood for forgiving grace. And when we do that, can you imagine how powerful we are? Because now we can bring in the power of that blade of grass. We can bring in the power of the trees. We can bring in the power of the stars and the universe. We can bring it all in. Does this make any sense to anybody?
Yes.
Okay. So let's say this together. If everybody wrote it down, but go within your heart, and I'm going to get us focused again because I got excited there. So take a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. And see yourself being one as you breathe out and expand yourself as far as your imagination can take you. As part of the galaxy, part of the universe, that you're a part of the star system, you're part of the trees, you're part of the grass, you're part of every good and perfect thing that comes from God. Breathe in deeply through your nose. Breathe in that light of God. See it going into every cell, every dark place in your mind, in your body. Anything that you may have done recently or in past that you know may have been in violation to your body, to your mind, to your environment, to your family, to yourself in any way, go within your heart right now and ask God for forgiveness. Just a short prayer. Please forgive me, God, for, and just state whatever it is. Breathe in deeply. Feel that light washing it away gently. Just a little comfort as you breathe in the light. And now I want you to see that white light turning violet, turning purple, and even pink, going into every cell of your body. And if you don't have a visual yet, imagine your heart. See the light going into your heart. And your heart pumps your blood out into every area of your body. Out from your arms. See that purple light going down into your fingertips. And coming back into your heart. See it going down into your legs, into your ankles, into your toes, your feet, your toes, and coming back as you breathe in, into your heart. Feel yourself expanding and expanding and expanding even more and more as you allow this transfusion of violet flame go into every cell of your body, pumping through your heart, to your brain, your nervous system, your skeletal system, circulatory system, respiratory system, digestive system, endocrine system, lymphatic system, every part of your being. It's just being infused with the violet flame. And now, as you breathe in deeply through your nose and out through your mouth, on the in-breath, I want you to say, I am forgiveness acting here. Bring it in. I am forgiveness acting here as you inhale. Feel it going through every cell of your body. Exhale. Inhale again, casting out all doubt and fear. Say that as you inhale. And as you exhale, see yourself casting it out, all the doubt and fear. And as you inhale, setting men forever free. See in your mind all those that you've held hostage with anger or fear or pain of any kind from any relationships that you may have had. As you exhale, see them being released from your being, from your mind, from your body, from your aura and atmosphere. From every cell of your being, you're letting them go as you inhale, with wings of cosmic victory. Say that in your mind, with wings of cosmic victory. See them flying away with these beautiful wings, or just going on about their lives, on about their business, away from you. As you inhale again, I am calling in full power. See that violet flame going through, flushing now, flushing out every cell. As you exhale, see it flushing out through your fingertips and your toes. And as you inhale again, for forgiveness every hour. This is infinite amount of hours. So see yourself being infinite, infinite, expanding, expanding. Releasing again, exhaling. And inhale to all life in every place. To all life in every place, even where you can't even imagine being. You set them free. And as you inhale again, I flood forth forgiving grace. You flood forth forgiving grace as you inhale. Feel this grace going into your body, into your organs, into your liver, your spleen, your gallbladder, your pancreas, your small and large intestines, your kidneys, your bladder, your lungs, your heart, your brain. And we're going to do it again. I am forgiveness acting here, casting out all doubt and fear, setting men forever free. With wings of cosmic victory, I am calling in full power for forgiveness every hour. To all life and every place, I flood forth forgiving grace. Breathe in deeply. Feel that violet flame. Feel it going through every cell of your body. You may feel a tingling sensation, a warming sensation, or a cooling sensation. Feel it going through your brain, your face, down into your eyes, your ears, your throat, your mouth, your throat, down into your chest, into your breast, into your lungs, into your heart, down into your spleen, your stomach, your pancreas, your gallbladder, your liver, down into your abdomen, down into your small and large intestines, your colon, your rectum, down into your kidneys, your adrenals, your bladder, your ovaries, your uterus. Feel this going down into your thighs, into your legs, your feet, your toes, out your toes, down into your arms, into your hands and out your fingertips. As we say it again, I am forgiveness acting here, casting out all doubt and fear, setting men forever free. With wings of cosmic victory, I am calling in full power for forgiveness every hour. To all life in every place, I flood forth forgiving grace. Breathe in deeply. And I'm going to read to you from Gardens of the Heart, Forgiveness by Elizabeth Clare Prophet. on page 48, as you continue to stay in a meditative state, some wrongs and crimes burn so profoundly and deeply that they are hard to forgive. The secret is to forgive the soul and inner identity of the one that has done wrong. If you can forgive the soul, a wonderful freedom awaits you. If you feel vengeance for someone because they have wronged you, let it go. Let God take care of it. As long as you hold resentment, you are bound to that person to be healed of the scar. Forgive the wrong. Free yourself through love and compassion. Justice belongs to the Creator. It is the Creator's province. Therefore, there is justice for wrongdoing. But forgiveness belongs to you. Your province is to forgive and forgive again. May you be blessed with the fragrance of the violets of forgiveness. Give the cup of forgiveness to others, and you will discover an astounding relief from burdens you have carried for so long. Give the cup of forgiveness and discover an astounding transmutation. Feeling anger or resentment when a past wrong comes to mind is a signal that you have yet to extend forgiveness. When you let go of grudges and truly forgive life, the energy you send forth comes flowing back to you as flood tides of forgiveness in your own life. Be wholly active in giving and receiving forgiveness. See how many problems can be resolved through mercy and forgiveness. So this year, ladies, let that be the standard that we rise to. Let that be the bar that we set for ourselves and for others. We will forgive others. We will forgive ourselves. We will ask our soul to forgive us for any wrongdoing. And we will allow ourselves to transmute those records that we hold on to in every cell of our body through the transmutation, through the violet flame. And as you use that violet flame more and more in the manner in which we just did, going into every cell of your body, so for say for an example of someone that's a diabetic and their pancreas may not be working as properly as we would like for that pancreas to work, we could talk to the pancreas. We can ask the pancreas to forgive us for not doing what's necessary or what was necessary even in a previous lifetime, or accepting the family dynamic, the family group soul dynamic of, well, my mother or my father was a diabetic, therefore I have to be one. Counsel clear. We can ask for forgiveness for holding on to that false belief and ask our pancreas to help us to do what it takes to know what's necessary and what's needed for it to heal so that it can produce enough insulin so that we don't have to be a diabetic in this lifetime. And we can use the violet flame to transmute the records that we've created, have us magnetize being a diabetic to ourselves. That's using the science. That's using the science that God has given us, the spiritual science, just like he's given scientists the opportunity to use research and to find cures out here on the physical. But when we want to get rid of something and we don't want any more of a record of it, we have to go all the way back from the physical, back to the emotion, see what the emotion is that's attached to it, clear that emotion up, see what the memory of it is, that if we have a memory of it, like we just talked about, if there are some experiences that we may have had with our family, write a letter about those experiences not hold on to those false beliefs, not hold on to that negative emotion anymore. Burn the letter. And then go all the way back to the etheric or the spiritual realm and do the spiritual work, and that's using the violet flame, using the spoken word, the science of the spoken word, to do spiritual cleansing, to do spiritual operations to remove and eradicate. Just like a surgeon would go in and physically cut out a situation in the physical body, we can go back in the science of the spoken word and cut out the record of that so that it will not come back and show up anymore on the physical in this lifetime, or if we do have to come back into an embodiment for another lifetime, it won't be there. The record will not be there in our next life. So I hope that what we've shared this evening has been helpful. It's time, I think, for us, we only have about 12 minutes left anyway, to allow you to stay in a contemplative state. If you want to share something with us, that's great. If you have an aha moment that you want to share with the group, that would be wonderful. Otherwise, I think if you want to take this time to just continue using the violet flame or writing your letter, this would be a perfect opportunity for us to end our discussion for this evening and to move on into doing the spiritual work for ourselves so that we can have a happy new year, as Rhonda said at the very beginning when she said, "Happy New Year, everyone." We want you to have a happy new year and a happy new you, and it comes through us now taking charge and doing the work that we need to do to have our God victory in this lifetime. So let's say it one more time together, this forgiveness mantra. Ready? I am forgiveness acting here, casting out all doubt and fear, setting men forever with wings of cosmic victory. I am calling in full power for forgiveness every hour. To all life in every place, I flood forth forgiving grace. God bless you. Until we meet again, may you continue to sail higher and higher and higher on the cosmic wings of victory. As you forgive, you are forgiven. God bless you. And always victory. Good night, ladies.
Always victory. Always victory. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh my, what I need.